Welcome to another episode of the ImproPod podcast. My guest today is Christine Disson from Montreal in Canada. So you run an organization called the Modern Artist Project. Can you tell me a bit about that?
We help artists in different disciplines be able to create their digital presence using social media, digital platforms.
And so are you a musician yourself?
I'm a clarinetist and a conductor. I've recorded 2 albums. Recently, I found out that I was a winner of the Banting Postdoctoral Fellowship in Canada, where I'm going to be hosted at Concordia University. So a lot of the work that I'm going to be doing there is on poetic musical compositions. So being able to understand the relationship between the spoken word to music and using different composers, different poets, different sound artists, and being able to eventually create a book from that. A lot of the current research that I'm doing right now relates to understanding the relationship between gender and power in compositions by French and Quebec female composers for the clarinet. So that's going to be recorded in May and hopefully dropping in the fall. So I'm really excited about that. Hey.
So I'm going to play you a piece of music, completely improvised, and I want you to tell me what it makes you think of.
Okay.
So don't overanalyze it too much. Anything that comes to mind, thoughts, visions, ideas.
Was making me think of being in one of those fancy houses in a dark part of the house near the fireplace. The only light that was there was the fire and me just sitting right in front of it, just absorbing the heat and the darkness.
What was it about what I played that reminded you of that?
I guess it was one of those things that when I listen to different chords, especially the ones that have some dissonance, but also at the same time that have a direction. When you think about the space of being somewhere, it made me feel warm in the sense of hearing the music, but also because of the different colors that you chose, it was very dark for me. So being able to have that light, that warmth, but also be around darkness.
Are you up for telling me a story of some kind?
Okay, so one of my really good friends, I call her Strudel. We have nicknames for each other. My name is Muffin, right? So one of the things that we had done was we met on a food blog. She is one of the people that is actually not only vegan, but she's also gluten-free, so she can't eat anything with gluten, right? We were talking about pictures of food, and we really connected right away. And what ended up happening is we finally met in person in Alberta, which is like a 4-hour flight from Montreal. So she literally lives on the other side of Canada. And it was so funny because we have this affinity for pastries. When I look at pictures of cookies or cakes or biscuits, I don't know what's wrong. It's like, I just want one. And so we always like joke about like being a pastry and all those things. And she's actually really been supportive in certain things that I'm going through. She's really one of the kindest people I've ever met.
Did you go and eat some pastries together? And
she can't eat pastries. she has celiac, right? If I couldn't eat gluten, I'd shrivel up like a mushroom. We actually joke around. Canada is huge, right? To handle the both of us, right? So that's why she stays in Alberta and I'm in Quebec. If you had two of us together, it'd be like confetti explosions, pastries, and things like that. We got to do a project together, which was really great. She took photos. We also did some interviews and helped me record some course outlines for my students, which was really great.
What I do is I break the story down into sections and then improvise a soundtrack to the story. First, I want to go for this idea of distance that you've met, but not in real life. There's a disconnect. So I'm going to try and get a sense of that. And then I'm going to go for the flight and then this sort of pastry thing. I'm going to try and bring the pastry theme in. Okay, let's just see what happens. What I was going for there is this kind of disconnect by just playing a chord down at the bottom of the piano and then playing another chord that's quite a long way away from it. And then when you met in person, playing more cluster chords, so it was more of a condensed experience with some random pastry kind of vibe in there as well. Did that work for you?
That was really cool. Actually, I think when you started doing the cluster chords, I was like, I think that's when we met. It's awesome because you're taking the actual distance of the notes and actually like bringing them closer together.
And also I'm just doing it on the fly. So that's like the first thing I came up with. It might be the most obvious.
I can't wait to show this to her when you finish producing it.
Did you get the sense of the plane, the flight? Yeah.
I did. And I liked how you went from the lower notes to the more extreme parts of the piano, like actually flying over and then being able to like somehow meet in the middle, even though it's not really the middle because Alberta is like over yonder and I'm like over here, right? But being able to meet at a place.
It's interesting how the music of the pastry, this fluffy, I was thinking kind of light, sweet thing, is flighty in nature as well. They seem to work together in terms of their musical relationship. Yeah.
It's always so funny because sometimes we use words like, oh, I feel so flaky today, or, oh, I feel so crummy. Inserting these pastry adjectives to describe how we feel. Our shared passion for pastries, even though hers is more like a forbidden passion, right? Because if she eats them, then she gets sick and she has to go to the hospital. I could tell her, oh, this croissant tasted like this. And she'd be like, yeah.
So do you improvise a lot in terms of your music?
In clarinet, I do it, but I don't do it publicly. I think it's one of those things that if I do it, I want to be really prepared for it. That's the contrary. Because when you improvise, you're just like on the fly. But to be able to say, if I improvise it, I want to reproduce it, that I can, to be at that stage to remember. I'm also a poet, so I write poetry. One of the things that I'm working on is being able to improvise sound, like clarinet playing, to spoken word. So like me reading a poem in a recording and being able to have that be part of live performance. Those are things I'm working on.
What I normally do on this podcast is I have the story and then I play the music. But what I've never done is done it simultaneously, like you were talking about. So that might be quite an interesting experiment with something that's been pre-written, like a poem.
Okay, yeah. This is an unpublished thing. But let me just grab it right here. So, death by silence. Death is scary. Death of friendships. Death of pet animals. Or worse, physical death. Death by silence is the most confusing, almost guaranteed way to kill a relationship. Silence in music, something that lets melodies breathe, harmonies settle. Silence is just as scary. The suspense that moves you, an unwanted anticipation of what is about to happen. The moment we hear our breath, as if our ears are muted, relying on what we see to understand what is happening. Death by silence, a dangerous cocktail, but a wonderful gift for the brokenhearted.
Nuts. Yeah, cool. Nice poem.
Thanks.
It's interesting because it's a poem about silence. And of course, I couldn't just be completely quiet because that would be not the idea, but to introduce the piano that's working with your poem about silence.
I think it's one of those things that a lot of the work that I do as a poet is also being able to share personal experiences. That's also something that I do in music. Sometimes I find with poetry, it's one aspect of how I can express things that I wouldn't be able to do in music. So it's something that I really feel passionate about.
I see, like in a relationship, that metaphor you're using, not saying what you feel or what you mean. When you go quiet, it becomes this potentially dangerous thing, isn't it?
It's one of those things that I find today. When we think about the term ghosting today, it's like an accepted behavior, the idea to completely ghost people, or whether it's like a romantic relationship or whether it's like a friendship or a professional relationship. A lot of time people think it's just okay because it's easier. Whereas actually I find it like so damning and terrible. I think it's like a crass behavior that our society has developed over a course of time. That's part of the reason why when we think about the idea of silence and the idea of these emotions of confusion that we feel, it's inevitable. So when we think about the idea of music as this thing is like that is continuous thing, people, especially younger people, think, oh, music sound. But the thing is, we have to have rest, right? We have to breathe. We have to let the melodies breathe or the harmonies settle. Because if we don't let it settle, then it's just sound, right? We also have to take time to listen and enjoy it. I love spoken word, but if we're able to create it in a way that makes it so people can connect with it, then that's fine. I really enjoyed what you did when we got to the fourth stanza. So silence is just as scary, because I felt at that moment we were connecting in regards to what I was reading and my pacing, the pacing of how I say words or how I perform words to the music that you were improvising to it. So I felt like you were adding these elements of color that I think came out really nice, you know, and highlighting certain words, certain emotions that I was trying to convey.
This is just how you talk about color. When people describing music, they often talk about color, don't they? And in terms of a tone, it's like a different way to imagine the music. You can say that's cool or red or that's fiery. Often those terms cross over. What did you get out of this podcast?
It was really cool because I was able to share some personal things, talking about my friendship with Strudel and being able to actually share a little bit of my poetry, being able to think more about certain elements of music, because I think about a lot of these things all the time, right? So like the idea of how do we feel? How do we show emotion, or how do we emote through sound? And how can we also teach people that connection, right? Not just to make sound for the sake of doing it, but being able to do it with intention and thought.
And so when you approach teaching this kind of thing, the connection of music, how do you do that?
When I talk about the connection of music, especially with younger students, because when you teach younger students, you encourage these ideas of having a strong technical knowledge. For example, having an understanding of chords, structure, architecture, being able to dissect a piece of music and also to create music, right? Being able to develop the fundamental musician skills. For example, with rhythm, solfege, pitch, and everything. And by having that technical knowledge makes it so the things that are inside of us, for example, having a warm heart, makes it so that way we're able to emote more, to have the tools to be able to express as much as we can at an extremely high level. I can't remember the person that actually said this, and this is not a direct quote. When you make music, it's about having a cold mind, right? Very calculating mind, but also having a warm heart, because those two elements being connected together in being able to produce the best music. And that's how I approach teaching.
I find that, yeah, I work on technique and I learn tunes, but I often have to disconnect myself from it, especially if I'm improvising. I rarely think about what I'm doing in terms of the physical thing or what the harmony is. Or sometimes I'm like, okay, this is a bit where he falls off the motorbike and there's going to be some kind of discordance that will fall in terms of the music. But a lot of the time it's blank and I'm just imagining the space, or I'm imagining the character or what they're doing. All of that technical stuff is important, but it's good not to get bogged down in it. I've met a lot of people who, musicians especially, say they can't improvise because they're so caught up in what should be right and what is wrong and what is good musicianship or what is acceptable. So it's an interesting balance, isn't it?
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. I just view those as like tools, right? For example, if you understand the idea of what cluster chords are, dominant sevenths. If you want something a little jazzy, why not add the ninth, right? Or sus four. You have to have that technical knowledge of what those things are. I have some students who are interested in that. So I always tell them, you just got to go with the flow and with what you feel and not even think twice about these elements, but being able to have those elements naturally come out in your music.
Thank you for being on the podcast. It's been really insightful.
Thank you so much, Luke.
Join us again for another episode of ImproPod. Thanks for listening. The ImproPod podcast is slowly becoming a global phenomenon, featuring guests from Barcelona to Lockhart, Texas, with stories and listeners from all over the planet, from Vanuatu to Chongqing. That's why I've made this interactive map, where you can listen to stories and explore their locations, find out approximately where the guests were interviewed and the listeners are. It's a completely new way to experience the ImproPod podcast. You can explore the map at impropod.com and on the Instagram page. Would you like to be a guest on this podcast? If you're into telling stories that inspire improvised music and exploring our relationship to music, then please get in touch. Email guest@impropod.com or send a message via the ImproPod Instagram page.